I'd like to ask you this morning if you could imagine not having a Bible at all. You wouldn't know anything about God. You wouldn't know anything except what nature teaches us, and nature doesn't give God a name. But suppose you didn't know anything at all about the Lord. What in the world would we be like? What would this world be like? We know the influence of the Bible because society is always made better where the Bible is understood. So this morning I want to talk to you about a situation that took place in Acts chapter 8 about someone who only had the Old Testament. But in the process of reading the Old Testament, he had been to Jerusalem to worship. And in Acts chapter 8, we have the story of Philip the evangelist joining himself to the chariot because God had led him there. And he saw what the Ethiopian was doing, and he asked the question, we'll get to it in just a moment, do you understand what you're reading? And of course that's important as well as for us today. Do we really understand what we are reading? So let's look at the idea of reading the Word of God. Are you reading? The Bible is a God-sent document. We have to really understand that to appreciate the Bible and to recognize that God had specific ideas in mind when He revealed the truth through His apostles and prophets. So when we look at this, we understand that the Bible is a God-sent document. It's like God is talking to me and God is talking to you. And we talk then about the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I understand the Bible is made up of two particular things that God has arranged. Number one, revelation, declaring unknown truth. And that was something Moses did when he was inspired to reveal about the creation in Genesis chapter 1. That's revelation. All the way through to the book of Revelation, which talks about what's going to happen when this life is over. And so you talk about revelation, things that we didn't know, couldn't know, because God had to reveal them. But the second thing is inspiration, and that's the idea of guarding revealed truth. So Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. We have the Word of God that's been guided by the Holy Spirit and protected against corruption. So many people think the Bible is not fully revealed because they try to add to it something of that nature. But actually, the Bible is finished and complete and inspired by God. But one cannot know what one cannot know. And when you look at the world around us, I know they're not Bible readers. So you can't really know what a good marriage is. You can't really know how to be saved. Without the Bible, you can't know how to treat your family. With so many problems that America has, the answer's in the Bible. The answer's there if people would just read it. But again, you see people living a life in total abstinence from the Word of God and goodness. When you see people like that, you're aware they don't know what the Bible says. And you can't know in a dream. And you can't know intuitively. We only know when we read the Bible. That's why we put such an emphasis here in this congregation and have a daily Bible reading every year, because we'd like for people to know the Word of God. There are some denominations, like the Catholic Church, that discourages reading the Bible. And I've seen quotations from popes and cardinals that say that wherever the Bible is read, the prospect of the pope is not appreciated. And so they discourage that and let you believe in what the clergy says. You just take the priest's word for something. But again, that's not what the Bible says, but people don't know that if they haven't read it. So you can't know what you don't know, and the only way you're going to know is to read the Bible. And Bibles are commonplace. I mean, everybody has one or two, or they're certainly available. One cannot even go to a hotel without finding a Gideon Bible in the drawer. The Bible is everywhere. We give Bibles away. We've had people ask, well, could I have a Bible? And we say, of course you can have a Bible. If you'll just read the Bible, you'll be listening to God. You'll be connecting with God. And it's so important because it's, first of all, revealed that we didn't know, but now we know. And secondly, that it's inspired. So when people like the Islam people say the Bible has been corrupted, it's not true because we have the promise of Christ. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And there have been various governments like Hitler that have tried to destroy the Bible. Back in the 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Syrians took over Israel and they burned every scroll that they could find to get people away from the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible. And yet they couldn't do it. There's never been a government that's able to destroy the Word of God because it's eternal. It's something that came directly from God. When Paul the Apostle went to the great city of Athens, which is so noted in the old world and so looked upon, he said to them that ignorance is not an excuse. And he was declaring the unknown God to them. And that says that they didn't have the Bible. They didn't understand the Hebrew Scriptures. They didn't understand the Apostles' Word. But they were being told. And so then, again, ignorance is no excuse. Refer to the fact that in the times past, God had overlooked sin or had not charged some of the sins. But the idea was that the blood of bulls and goats could not do away with sins. And therefore, Hebrews 9:15 says the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross went backward as well as forward. It cleansed the people under the old covenant like Abraham and all those faithful under the Old Testament. But has also gone forward till today. And the blood of Christ is that important. So he was, he was telling people, ignorance is no excuse anymore. And we see that because we have the Bibles and it's available. But what if God's truth is never understood? It'd be almost impossible to think about that. There was a time when only one family understood about God. One family out of all the world. And that was Noah and his family. The rest of the entire world had turned away from God, and God wiped out that generation because they had turned away from God. When I look at the world today, I see the reality that most people do not know what the Bible teaches. Even religious people don't know what the Bible teaches. Number one, they listen to the clergy. Number two, they listen to the creed books. Number three, they listen to the so-called pastors and put their faith in men rather than the Word of God. It's such a dangerous thing. And we need people to understand that if God's truth is not understood, we have no hope at all. But the Bible is here. So when we look at this in Acts chapter 8, the Bible says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning." Number of things that we find in that. Number one, Luke wrote the book of Acts. And we pointed out in our Wednesday night studies about the book of Acts that Luke was a really good historian. He knew the facts. He quoted the facts. He named the titles of people he came in contact with. His geography never made a mistake. When he talked about going up from Caesarea to Jerusalem, it was geographically correct because Caesarea is on the coast and Jerusalem is in the mountains. And so here you see them going south toward Gaza, which is the direct direction. And also it was desert. There was very little water there. And so we see Philip then coming along. He was sitting in his chariot, the eunuch. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading. And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading?" Well, the eunuch had a legitimate problem. He was actually reading, but he didn't understand. The place where he was reading was Isaiah 53. I don't understand why any Jew who would read the Hebrew Bible could not understand by looking at the life of Christ how exactly correct Isaiah 53 is about this suffering servant that Isaiah talked about. It describes the death of Jesus, the life of Jesus, in such an open way. It would take really hard to misunderstand it. And so he was reading that, and he didn't understand it. And in 2 Corinthians 3 and Acts 35 said he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 14, we have another passage that gives us some light on that. In chapter 3, verse 14, let me be sure I have, no, 2 Corinthians, pardon me. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 14, Paul said, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ." And that explains why Jews today don't understand Isaiah 53. The eunuch didn't, and understandably, he had this legitimate problem of wanting to know, but do we have a legitimate problem like that? And we answer about that, no, it's commanded. In Ephesians chapter 3, "Be not foolish, but understand." Ephesians 5:19, "Be not foolish, but understand the will of the Lord." Ephesians 3, verse 4, Paul said, "When you read, you can understand, you can comprehend my understanding of the mystery of Christ." And so many times, the real problem is people don't read. And that's such a sad arrangement, because it condemns them. They don't know what they need to know. So in Matthew 15 and verse 10, the record says, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said, "Hear and understand." So that's something that we're supposed to do. And here's the thing, that a God who's intelligent speaks to our intelligence. He made us a certain way so that I'm able to understand things. Now, he doesn't speak to a cow. A cow can't understand it. He doesn't speak to a dog. A dog doesn't understand it. But in human beings, he gave the ability of comprehension if we will apply that. It's not going to be automatic. I'm not going to know the will of God just because he made me. He wants me to seek after the truth. And that's what Acts 17 was all about. And so the idea of understanding the Bible is something that's there. And Paul prayed for that. If I understand correctly, Colossians was the only place that he never got to go to personally. But he knew about them and wrote a letter. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, he had a prayer for those people. He said that in verse 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And then down in verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Brethren, that prayer is as effective today as it was back when it was written. That's what we need to be. We need to be filled with wisdom and understanding that we get from the Word of God. And it only comes from that. So we have no legitimate problem with today's Bible. All it takes is reading. And yes, I can understand that. When people say, "I don't read the Bible because it's not understandable," it's because they've never really read the Bible. And I've heard members of this congregation say that after they've read the Bible through a couple of times, everything seems to fit. You see the overall picture of the Bible. You see the individual verses of the Bible and how they meld with the entire theme of the Bible. And the entire theme of the Bible is given to us in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve sinned and fell from the grace of God. And the promise was given in Genesis 3:15 that a Savior would come, the seed of woman. And that theme is picked up as you go through the Old Testament in Abraham. In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Later it's brought down to David that it was going to be in David's lineage. And when you see the New Testament open, Jesus is born of the lineage of David. And you have this through the New Testament as it tells us what God wants us to do. In John 8, verse 43, Jesus said, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word." Isn't that amazing? It's so simple. Why did people not understand Jesus? Because they didn't listen with comprehension. And that's what we have to do today. And when the Ethiopian said, when Philip asked the question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He responded, "How can I unless someone guide me?" Well, that's where the teachers and preachers of the Word of God can spread that news and spread that understanding so they can understand that. So how can I unless someone guides me? The apostles initially had the same problem as the eunuch. They didn't understand. When Jesus was raised from the dead, "Lord, do you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And they had that corporate idea of a government of Israel that Jesus was going to oversee. They missed it altogether. They didn't really understand it until the Holy Spirit came upon them in Acts chapter 2. They didn't realize it was a spiritual kingdom. And I mentioned a number of times about Nicodemus. Jesus was telling him how to be born again into the kingdom. And all he could think about was physical birth. That wasn't what Jesus was talking about. I use this expression often. He had a mind down here. Jesus had a mind up here. And we have to listen and raise ourselves up to his level and understand that. Now the apostles finally came to understand. The book of John has some things to say about this that helps the apostles. The promises that Jesus made them in John 12 and verse 16, the Lord was talking to them. And verse 16 says, "His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him." They got the picture. You see, I understand, and you can understand today, the entire gospel message. It's about Jesus Christ, who died and was buried and was raised because his blood satisfies God's anger. And that's what Isaiah 53 talks about. That by his blood, our sins have been atoned. By his stripes, we are healed. And it was a rich verse that the Ethiopian was reading, and it's a rich verse today. And when you look at that, you see, as most people will call it, the suffering servant, because that's what's described there. And in John 13 and in verse 17, Jesus also had something else to say. He said, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." And so he's revealed all of this, and what we have to do is obey him and do what he says to do. And that's what we're able to do. So the New Testament was never veiled. Now the apostles were told by Jesus, "What I've told you in secret, shout from the housetops." He wants everybody to know. Now your secret societies will always tell you, "Well, we have some truth that we can't reveal until you're initiated into this secret society. Then we've got some truths that you never would be able to understand." That's hogwash. There's nothing true about that at all. The Bible is totally revealed for everybody to know. All you have to know about the will of God is pick up a Bible and start at Genesis and read all the way through Revelation. And you'll see what's called by many the scheme of redemption, or the plan of redemption, what God was doing. And Luke 24, which is a part of the Great Commission, says that this would begin at Jerusalem. It was going to begin at Jerusalem, so the New Testament's never revealed. They were told to go and preach the Word. In Acts 17 and verse 11 again, when Paul was in the city of Athens, he was teaching the Word of God, showing them what the true God was. And then there's some warnings about who guides us. Jesus warned in Luke 6 that there are blind guides that lead the blind. And so you have to be really careful who you put your trust in. I don't want your trust. I don't want you to trust me. I want you to trust the Bible. Because I'm human, I make mistakes along the way. But the Bible never makes a mistake. I think sometimes we do take it for granted. We don't realize that it's divine. We don't realize, and John 12:48 says that this Word is going to judge us at the last day. So we don't have to go to the judgment ignorant. I know exactly what's going to happen at the judgment day. The Bible describes what's going to happen at the judgment day. And I can be aware of that. And I'm not going to be surprised to see Jesus. It's all, He's been appointed as the judge of the world. And so when the judgment comes, and we have some brethren that say the judgment is already over, and the end of time has already occurred, and the kingdom of heaven has been finished. It's so amazing when people make up these bizarre doctrines. But you don't have to be unaware of what's going to happen at the judgment day. You're prepared for it. Oh, I'm sure we're going to be on our spiritual knees. I'm sure we're going to see things that we have never even imagined before. We're going to see Jesus face to face. We're going to see the Holy Spirit. We're going to see Almighty God on His throne. And we're going to see all the other Christians that are on the right side and not the side of the goats. And we want to be on that right side with the sheep. And so these are things that we understand because the Bible simply tells us about those things. Luke 16 is a passage that just tells what happens after you die. What happens when you die? Are you in darkness? I hear people saying, well, I saw the great light and all those kinds of things. The Bible tells us that when you die and you're righteous, angels come and carry you over to paradise. And in paradise, you're with Abraham's bosom and all those who've gone before. And I hope to see some of my relatives there. A few of them. I'm going to see my brethren there. And that's worth working for. That's worth reading the Bible. And so in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter, by inspiration, began to talk about the end of the world. And 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, do you? Do you look forward to the coming of the Lord? Be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scriptures. But he's saying, be careful who leads you and guides you. Be careful. Don't just pick up any television program. I remember so well when I was a kid, we listened to Del Rio sometimes. It was the biggest station in the United States at the time. It came from Del Rio. And they had autographed pictures of Jesus if you'd send them some money. And I never bought that. Then I got tickled listening to them. They advertised engagement rings. I'm sure they were not diamonds. And then they advertised wedding rings. And strangely, after that, they advertised rat poison. I guess they didn't believe in divorce. You can get forgiveness for death, but you can't get forgiveness for adultery. So, you know, the strange things. Be careful who you listen to. I don't know how many times I'd read or hear somebody say, just put your hand on the Bible. Pray the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. And I've noticed on Facebook just recently a number of brethren have said that the sinner's prayer is not in the Bible. There have been some really good articles presented on Facebook about what it takes to become a Christian. And so some good things are out there. And we have to learn to listen to those things. But the key elements to understanding is rightly dividing. 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly divide the Word of God. And people are sometimes debating what it means for the Word to be divided. My understanding of this is that when you're teaching someone, you divide that part of the truth they need to hear. I understand it can refer to the Old and New Testament. We have to rightly divide between the Old and the New Testaments. But I do believe that what Paul is saying to Timothy, that when you're teaching someone, you pull out of the truth what they need. You rightly divide to them the portion of truth that they need. And so if you find a believer in him, then you divide repentance. They need repentance and confession and baptism. Once they're baptized, they need to learn how to live a godly life. You divide to them what they need. Now, I'm not going to fall out if anybody disagrees with me on that, but we have to rightly divide that. And so we're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature in Matthew chapter 28. In John 14 and verse 26, Jesus is again talking about the Holy Spirit and all these verses and what the Holy Spirit can do for us. So in John 14 and verse 26, he talks about the Holy Spirit and says of it, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've told you. Now you have to be careful who he's talking to. He's talking to the apostles. He's not talking to me. He's talking to the apostles. And in John 16 and verse 13, something about the Holy Spirit. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Again, talking to the apostles. And so that's what must be divided, that truth. Jude 3, contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. So that was written about 65 or 80 A.D. And so by that time, all the letters were being written, and they were being circulated. And probably at that time, they still had some who had been had their hands laid on by the apostles, and they had the gifts of the Holy Spirit. James 1:25 speaks of the perfect law of liberty about 45 to 60 A.D. And then 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, all things that pertain to godliness and righteousness have been supplied to you. The point is that God intended, and it happened, that all the truth was revealed. Nothing else needs to be revealed. There'll never be another book of Acts. There'll never be another chapter to Revelations. Everything has been given, and the Bible is complete. In 2 Peter 1, beginning verse 19, Peter talks about the sure word of prophecy until the day star arises. And the idea was that prophecy was going to guide until all truth was revealed. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talked about the body and the fact that the body had different parts, but every part had its place to participate in the work of the Lord, but that the body was complete, and so truth is complete. So what is not to be divided is the idea of latter-day revelations. Every one of those deny the completeness of truth. Every time you hear a preacher on television say, the Holy Spirit talked to me, and the Lord told me these things, they're liars. They're liars. They've listened to their subjective ideas and they think that's God speaking to them, but there's nothing left to be revealed. It's all been given. And so 1 John chapter 4 says to test the spirits, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so I test the spirits by comparing what they teach with what the Bible teaches. And then we can know what that really is. And so the key elements to understanding, belief and inspiration, the Greek text, as far as their accuracy is concerned, it is a verbal or plenary. The word plenary means full. It's a full revelation. Every sentence, every paragraph, every chapter, and every book. The entire New Testament. And the Bible is that way because the apostles had this to say about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. They had a complete knowledge because they had received the Holy Spirit. They knew what the truth was and they told us. So in the beginning in 1 Corinthians 2, it's sort of a lengthy reading, but well worth it in this context. In verse 7, Paul says, "But we, the apostles, speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the ages for our glory." Now the word mystery is in the Bible, but people often misuse it. They say the Bible is mysterious. What Paul is saying was there was a time when the Bible, when the truth of the Bible was not revealed, it was contained in the mind of God. It was a mystery because nobody could read it. But once the Bible was given, then we understand it. It's not mysterious anymore. The mystery has been explained. So, he said, "Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Drop on down to verse 10. "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received," here's the apostles again, "we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And the idea, here's a spiritual idea, there's a spiritual word to go with it. If you have a spiritual thought and you can't find a spiritual word, it's a subjective thought, not a biblical thought. So the idea is very clear to hear that all of this has been revealed. And when someone takes the Bible and translates it, not interprets it, then we have the truth of God. We need to pay attention to the language. For example, unto, in Acts 2:38, "Repent, be baptized unto the remission of sins." Some would say, "because of remission of sins." You're baptized because you've been saved. That's not what Acts 2:38 is saying. You're baptized in order to be saved. And so these are things that when you read the Bible, you come to understand and you realize. What Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 2, very clear, that through the Holy Spirit, God gave them an explanation of the mystery in God's mind. Then in Ephesians 3, he said, "When you can read my writings, you can understand this mystery." It's not a mystery anymore. And he said that what God gave them, spiritual truths, they're combined with spiritual words. So if we can't find in the Bible anything that we're doing in our worship, it's not good. If we can't find in our personal life anything that is authorized, it's not good. So we have to let the Word of God dwell in us richly, Colossians 3. So if you're here this morning and you really want to go to heaven, you've made up your mind you want to go to heaven, put your trust in the Bible. Read the Scriptures. It's amazing how many times when you're reading through the Bible, you'll find a verse that explains another verse. The Bible is the best interpreter of itself. And so, we trust the Bible. And I've been in the area where Philip and the Ethiopian were, and it is desert. And I'm amazed that on those Roman roads, he was able to read in a chariot. Had it sort of bouncy. But see, he had that desire. He wanted to know. And the Lord understood that, so he sent Philip to him, and he said, are you understanding what you're reading? Well, how can I unless somebody guide me? The Bible says that Philip, beginning at the same verse, preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on the way, the eunuch said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? How did he know about baptism? I say you can't preach Jesus without preaching baptism, because that's the door to the church and the means by which we reach the blood of Christ. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, thank God for the Bible who's been leading you. If you're not a child of God, or if you're a child of God that's gone astray, I invite you to come and let us work with you to bring you back to God once again. Will you come while we stand and sing the invitation number?